Let's take our Bibles, turn over to the book of John. Thank you for being here tonight. It's a joy to have Brother Don, Sister Linda with us tonight. I don't say this lightly, but if you know them, you know they're two of God's choice servants. Amen. And I love them. I appreciate them. I mean that. In John chapter number 2 is where our text will be tonight, but I want to go back and read how the message was sparked, how the messages were sparked in my heart. If you'll stand with me tonight, stretch your legs just a minute in reverence to God's Word. Over in John chapter 21, the last verse in the Bible said there were also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. We'll run into a text tonight in John chapter 2 that'll elaborate on that a little bit. And then in verse 30 of John chapter 20, the Bible said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, and this is our text in these days, that you might believe." I tell you, God's helping me. I hope he's helping you. He wants me to believe him. He wants me to trust him. I'm not talking about a salvation experience now. That's done. That was done in 1987. But God wants me to walk with him in faith. "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and," here's the abundant life, "that believing you might have life through his name." Not just life eternal in heaven, but life abundantly on earth. I believe God wants us to have that, don't you? You can be seated. We'll read the rest of our text in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. It's been so good to be here. Lord, so many of our people tonight are not able to be here. I think about both Brother Larry's tonight that would love to be here. I think about Brother Vic that'll be headed down to Nashville this week, down to Vanderbilt. Lord, I thank you that Sister Marge and Brother Jim are able to be back. Brother Zeke and Sister Margaret, Lord. God, how I miss her folk when they can't be here. Lord, I'm glad we're headed for a meeting where we'll all be present, that they're washed in that precious blood. Lord, there'll be nothing to hinder us there. Until then, God, I'm glad you have a grace that's sufficient for each and every one of us. I pray tonight, Lord, as we look in this text, that you might increase our faith, and God, that you might teach us in these days. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us, our Father. Lord, just be determined to worship you in spirit and in truth. In thy name we pray, amen. Brother John, I just now saw, what's the right word? Just now saw? Well, seesaw. Anyway, saw, is that the right word? Okay, I have to look over at that English teacher. I just now saw the bulletin cover, Brother John. Saw what you were talking about this morning, right? The old country church. Brother John was talking about simple. Look at the verse at the top. It says, "Compel them to come in, that my house might be filled." The surroundings and the buildings and the properties and the things may change through the years, but God's method never changes. Go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I don't know if God spoke to anybody's heart or not, but that first Saturday in April, if we listened to what was said just a minute ago, a little girl, Brother Brian got a Bible school flyer, and it made a difference in her eternity. I believe tonight we need to let God speak to our hearts. We need to be laborers, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Together with God. John chapter 2, when preaching in the book of John, that you might believe. And tonight we're going to begin looking in verse number 12. We looked at the marriage in Cana this morning, the first miracle of our Lord and our Savior. Let's look down through these verses tonight, and I'll give you some things briefly, and we'll go home and rest a little while. The Bible said after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. When I read that this afternoon again, I thought about this, Brother Steve. It seems like the people that got to know Jesus wanted to hang around him. And I believe if you ever get to know him, you'll want to hang around him. There's nobody like Jesus. Amen. I believe you'll want to walk with him. I believe you'll want to talk with him. I believe you'll want to do his will. The Bible said the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, remembered that he had said, he had said this unto them. I missed the word this, excuse me. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. And when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. See that? You don't even see them recorded here. But Jesus has done so much that it cannot all be recorded. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. I want to talk to you tonight out of this text right here on some things we're to believe. Some things we're to believe. The Bible said these things are written that you might believe. I believe that there are a lot of people in the world that do not believe what I'm going to share with you tonight, especially in the first part of the message. The first one thing I want to share with you tonight is the Jews' Passover was at hand and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The first thing I want to speak to us about tonight is we are to believe that there are some things that anger our Lord. There are some things that anger our Lord. We're living in a generation where Jesus is being preached. Many times only one side is being preached. Only his mercy, only his love, only his grace is being preached and being taught. But there's another side according to the Bible. I believe we see some of that here in this passage of Scripture. The Word of God said God is angry with the wicked every day. I believe tonight that you and I need to understand that here in the Bible there were some people that were wrapped up in religion but did not have a relationship with God, and what they were doing angered our Lord. The Bible said here, he found them in the temple. They sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of the money sitting at a time, the Passover time, a time when they ought to have been reflecting on the blood, when they ought to have been reflecting on the lamb, when they should have been reflecting on the deliverance that God gave them out of the land of Egypt. They're out to make some money. They're out to take advantage of people that are coming to Jerusalem to worship. They're turning the Father's house. In another text, the Bible said, the house of prayer into a den of thieves. They love their money. They love their possessions. And Jesus sees what's going on, and it angers him. I read this, and I thought it was worthy of reading in our hearing tonight. A person who is angry on the right grounds, against the right persons, in the right manner, at the right moment, for the right length of time, deserves great praise. Beloved, the Bible said to be angry and sin not. I don't believe that we as God's people are expected to be pacifists. Amen. While the babies are being killed and while same-sex marriage is being accepted in our land. I believe there are some things, beloved, that if it angers the heart of our God, it ought to anger us down in our spirit, the things that are going on. You think about our children and our grandchildren going off to some of these places, these schools and places of education, they call them, amen, and they're going to try to pull every bit of God they can out of them. They're going to try to disprove this book, and they're going to try to take, my friend, everything they've been taught away from them. Beloved, I believe we ought to be angry about some things. Jesus here was angry. The Word of God said here, he found them. In the temple, they sold the oxen, the sheep, and the doves, and they're there. And he made a scourge of small cords. And the Word of God said he drove them out of the temple. I don't believe even the average Baptist has ever closed their eyes and got a vision of this Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about, beloved, he didn't get up and give a speech and say, would y'all please leave? They were leaving. He took the whip and he drove them out of the temple. I believe tonight if we'll let God, he'll speak to our hearts. We need to believe in this generation there are some things that anger our Lord. Let me give you this tonight. He said unto them, it is written in Matthew 21:13, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. Let me give you something tonight. Now listen to me. I wonder tonight, I'm not going to be dogmatic, but I believe I'm right. I believe, beloved, if there are some things that upset our Lord dealing with this temple, this earthly temple, that this book teaches that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I believe if our Lord, beloved, listen, if it would anger him, some of the things that he sees, I wonder if he's not angry sometimes at some of the things he sees that's going on in the holy temple of God, the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. What's that mean? That means our conversation shouldn't change when we go out those doors. Amen. That means our thought processes shouldn't change when we go out those doors. That means we belong to God on Sunday, Monday, and every other day of the week. That we're taking the temple of God everywhere that we go. The Bible said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Down through the years, I've noticed sometimes that people, they use an Old Testament text. They kind of use it for a license to live loose. Let me tell you what I mean by that. They'll say, well, God, he don't look at the outside. He looks at the heart. That's the truth. That's the truth. God is looking at the heart. You wait till we get down here in this message a little bit further. It's a lot deeper than you think tonight. He is looking at the heart. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works, men can't see your heart. All they can see is a reflection of your heart. All they can hear from your mouth is a reflection of your heart. Out of the mouth, the heart, it proceeds out of the mouth. Amen. And beloved, tonight, God is speaking about this temple this body that he's given us, where he lives, where he abides, where he dwells. The Bible said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? Because of that. When's the last time you heard a Bible message preached on separation? Because of that. Because we're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Wherefore, he said, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's not what you see tonight. Beloved, listen tonight. This is the temple. Our Lord lives in there. But what's going to become outward is going to be reflected from what's on the inside. And I believe tonight it's important to understand and to believe that there are some things that anger our Lord. I wonder tonight, listen to me tonight. I don't have anybody in mind right now. But I wonder tonight how many people are well able to walk to the house of God that stayed at the house or went somewhere else today. I'm talking about this morning and this evening, amen? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it ought to shame some people. Olivia's talking about Brother Allen coming in here. Beloved, listen, there were times Brother Zeke, he couldn't even hold his head up back there. He'd about pitch out on the floor, but he wanted to be in the house of God. I'm telling you, that ought to speak to our hearts tonight. Amen. Beloved, listen, there's some things that anger our Lord. You know, it'd be nice up in Bristol if they could just get together. I know the churches are trying to fight it, but if they could just get together and see what that gambling has done, amen, what's in the shadows. Oh, the tax money looks good from the booze, but if they could just see what's in the shadows, I'm telling you, they'd understand the Bible is right. And we ought to go with God. There's some things that anger our Lord. The second thing that I want to give you tonight in the message is we're to believe not only there's some things that anger our Lord in this text, but we're to believe that nothing can deter the plan of our Lord. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, Jesus here, you get down here and his disciples remembered that it was written. The Bible said here, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now listen to me tonight. We're talking about believing God. God's trying to encourage us and increase our faith and bring us to a place where we can believe. We not just read the Word of God, but believe the Word of God. And not just be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word of God. I believe this should encourage us tonight. You say, preacher, what do you mean? We believe there's nothing that can deter the plan of God. Well, watch this. Jesus said, destroy this temple. And the Jews said, 46 years, the temple and building. Wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now watch this. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Let me just give you this tonight. How many's ever read those prophecies in the Old Testament? How many's ever read where they've come true in the New Testament? Amen. Have you read the gospel according to Isaiah? And then read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and see how that it lines up, how that God, 700 years before Christ ever came. Beloved, what I'm trying to say is, if we can already see, if we can already see, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. If we can already see, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. If we can already see God's promises that have already been fulfilled, that ought to increase our faith and say, oh God, there's some things over there we haven't seen come to pass yet, but they will. They will come to pass. And we ought to believe tonight that nothing can deter the plan of our Lord. The disciples remembered. They remembered that Jesus had said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. I believe that when they believed the scripture, they believed the word that Jesus had said. I believe it increased their faith. Thomas, you remember, he said, I'm not going to believe unless I can touch the print of the nail in his hands and thrust my hand in his side. Jesus didn't rebuke him. He just stepped in among them and said, reach hither thy finger, Thomas. I tell you what I believe. Now, I don't know, but I don't believe Thomas's finger ever got over there. I believe when he heard his voice, he said, my Lord and my God. Amen. I believe, listen tonight, I believe these things that we've seen come to pass ought to encourage us. God has a plan. Listen, this world's going to burn up. Y'all believe that? That's in the plan of God. A third of the vegetation's going to be on fire. A third of the water supply is going to turn to blood. 100-pound hailstones are going to fall out of the sky. Judgment's coming on the world. But listen to me. Thank God we'll be with Jesus when all that happens. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Because I've seen so much of it already come true that I know the rest of what he said is going to come true as well. You see, the Bible said God cannot lie. I believe that tonight, amen. I believe that God cannot lie. He would not lie to us. He would not lead us in a path that's not right. They believe the scripture and the word. Watch this now. Look at verse 23. The Bible said, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. I want you to think about it. Maybe it's been a while since you thought about your Bible. But you know what your Bible is really? It's a miracle. You think about Genesis to Revelation. You think about all of those books and all of those verses. You say, preacher, how can it all line up the way it does? I'll tell you how. It all has the same author, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Listen, this book is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. I believe that the Lord allowed the Greek and the Hebrew text to come into the English language in this King James Bible, and that the Word of God was preserved to every generation. Amen. I'm not a Ruckmanite. I'm not one that believes that God inspired again the Word of God as it was translated. But I do believe God preserved this precious old book so that every generation we'd have the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You're looking at someone that believes he wouldn't tell us to live by every word and then not give us every word. I believe we have it right in front of us tonight. We're to believe that nothing can deter the plan of God. We talked this morning about a wedding at Cana, a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Honey, there's a marriage coming one day after a while. And our Lord will be present at that one too. Say amen. And I tell you what, beloved, all of God's children will be there. Everybody that's been born again. I believe God wants to increase our faith. Help us to believe tonight. There's some things that anger our Lord. To believe that there's nothing that can deter the plan of our God. He's going to carry it out as he said. Amen. We're coming upon Easter. You remember when there in the Bible said he is risen. Then it used three little words. As he said. Just like everything he said has either come to pass or it will. Amen. And we can trust him tonight. The last thing I want to speak to you about tonight in the text is this. Not only are we to believe that nothing can deter the plan of God, there's some things that anger our Lord. But we're to believe that there is nothing that is hidden from our Lord. Listen to me tonight. This will cause you to behave right if you believe this. If you believe that there's nothing, listen to what the Bible said. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. I don't know how many's here tonight, at least 500. But God knows all men. God knows all men. God's not looking at the outside tonight. God is looking at the heart. I like the song that says, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Amen. I like that tonight. When God looks in there, listen, when he came through Egypt in the Passover, he was looking for the blood. Not the blood in the basin, not the blood on the brush, not the blood in the backyard, say amen, but the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. And I believe with all of my heart that he's looking tonight for the blood when it comes to entrance into heaven. Years ago, many of you have probably heard me say this, but I was studying that out, and it dawned on me that there was a place. The blood is there, the blood is there, and the blood is there. But it dawned on me where the blood was not. It was not on the threshold. And I believe when I studied that out, the Lord spoke to my heart over in the book of Hebrews. It said they had trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant. The blood was not made to be walked on. The blood was not made to be walked over. The blood was put there on the mercy seat so we could walk through into the presence of God. I'll tell you, I thank him tonight for that. You say, preacher, what do you mean there's nothing hidden? Look what he said in verse 25. It needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Beloved, let me just say this tonight. I'm not changing the word of God. He knew what was in man, and he knows tonight what is in man. He knows what is in man. Hebrews 4:13 said this, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You remember when you got saved? I tell you, part of that was God just stripped us. Amen? You're talking about conviction. The Holy Ghost just stripped us and let us know that we didn't have anything hidden from him. And that he saw that mess that we were in. And the amazing thing is, he saw the mess, but he still loved me and wanted to help me. Amen. He saw my sin, but he wanted to forgive me. He wanted to save me. I tell you, I appreciate him tonight, don't you? Then the Bible said in John 6:64, he said, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Brother Brian and I were discussing this a little while back. I was actually listening to a Sunday school lesson that he had taught either in 14 or 16, 2014. I had two discs, and I just know those two dates were on it. But anyway, Judas, he's right there among the number. Looking at it from the outside, you can't tell any difference. He's right there with them. Even kissed the Son of God. One old preacher, Brother Don, said he kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. Think about that tonight. How awful it would be. It'd be awful to go to hell from anywhere. Be awful to go to hell from anywhere. But the guy on the bar stool tonight, he knows he's in trouble. Be terrible to go to hell from a church pew. The Word of God said this. Many will say to me in that day, this is not the barroom crowd. This is not the homosexuals. This is not the murderers and the rapists. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Look at all we've done in thy name. He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God gave me a statement years ago. Any and all work that is performed in an effort to merit heaven is iniquity. Anything a person does to try to deserve to go to heaven is iniquity in the eyes of God. What that individual is saying is, God, The cross was a mistake. The cross was not necessary. Look at everything I'm doing. Surely that'll get me in. I'll tell you what it'll do, beloved. It'll leave you lost. It'll leave you in trouble on judgment day. The word of God said he knew him. Then in John 13:11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. I believe tonight that this would help us if we really believed these three things. Number one, there are some things that anger our Lord. I believe, don't talk about before I got saved. I'm talking about since I've been saved. I believe I've allowed things in my life at times that angered my Lord. You say, preacher, have you ever been chastened? Yes, I have. No chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I tell you the blessing in chastisement is it tells me I'm his. I'm not a bastard. I'm not my own. I have a father that loves me. And I'll just plug this in right there. If you love them youngins and they need a whooping, you'll give it to them. My daddy whooped me. Mama whooped me every day. I don't remember a one of them. Daddy whooped me 4 times and I ain't forgot a one of them. He was good at it. And there were times he was angry. I wonder sometimes if he wasn't like me trying to beat him out of me. Say amen. Sometimes what angers us the most is we're looking in the mirror and our children. Would somebody help me tonight? Amen. We're to believe there's nothing that is hidden from our Lord. On that day when we stand either at the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian or at the great white throne judgment as a sinner, when an individual stands there, it's going to be one-on-one. Not going to do any good to mention your neighbor. Not going to do any good to mention somebody that offended you somewhere along the way, or somebody that failed you, or somebody that disappointed you. It's going to be one-on-one. One individual and one Savior. And beloved, let me tell you something about his record. It's right. Amen. I watched a little bit of news before I came to church tonight. And they spent, what, 600 and, is it 600? I think 675 days, $25.2 million. And that's still not good enough for a lot of people. Amen. But let me tell you something about God's record. It's right. It's right. It's right. Nobody's going to slip into heaven. Nobody's going to get in through a side door or back door. Everybody will come through the same door. Jesus said, I am the door. Amen. Jesus knows what's in man. I'll give you this tonight for the child of God. The Lord not only knows what we do. I want you to think about this. He knows why we do it. He knows our motive. And I believe that's why the Bible talks about our works. Some, like wood, hay, and stubble, they pass through the fire. They burn up. Others are like gold and silver and precious stones. When you pass that through the fire, it just can only get more pure. It'll stand the test of the fire. Beloved, I'll tell you tonight, God knows what's in man. I don't know. There's not one individual, when my daddy was living, I would not have traded with my daddy, though I believe with all of my heart. Brother Don, I've heard so much about your daddy. Would you have ever traded with your daddy? I would have never traded with my daddy. I know what God did for me that night. And my daddy feels the same way about me. He'd say, son, I know what God did for me. And that's the way it ought to be with every believer, amen. But more than that, God knows. Amen. God knows. Are you saved tonight? Are you walking with God? Are you believing God? Are you going to ask God to use you this week? Amen. Amen. I wish you could have been in Sunday school this morning. You would have learned that Brother Brian still has a little bit of rebel in him. He was leading a revolution at the airport. Amen. Amen. That was good, wasn't it? You know what God wants us to do? All of us. He wants us to get somebody by the hand, bring them to Jesus. Amen. We can't save them, but we can sure point them to the one who can. How many's glad you come tonight? How many needs God to increase your faith? Amen. We might just walk closer. Walk closer. Be obedient to him. He knows what's in man tonight. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, God knows what's in man. Let's bow our heads tonight for prayer for just a moment.